actively working in our city right now. But this is Providence Student Living's business model. They put people out of their neighborhoods where they have lived for years and invested time and money. They furnish the place and then they rent it to students from out of town for exorbitant rents. This is not economic development for the majority of the people in the city, and we need policies like rent control to discourage speculation and stop skyrocketing rents.
Don't let corporate America come in and destroy our neighborhoods, because that's what's going to happen. This is the fiber of what our neighborhood's all about. You're seeing it. And it just upsets me when people, they say, okay, you know what? We're going to buy that house. We're going to make condominiums out of it. And instead of paying $1,000 a month, now they're going to have to pay either $3,000 a month or $2,500 a month, and they have nowhere to go.
Of you have probably enjoyed a water fire event in Down City, Providence at the confluence of the Wenasquatucket and Mashassic Rivers. Those rivers used to be in a different spot. They actually had to be moved to their current location as part of the big redevelopment of that part of Providence. Today's flashback is from 22 years ago today, August 23rd, 1989, the day those rivers were actually moved.
The day began with steel pilings holding back the Mashassic River, much the way they have since last November. But that would soon change. A crane stood ready to release the river, waiting only for the politicians to make their speeches. Then, with the ceremonies complete, it was time to let the river flow. The part of the project that was done today involved allowing the river to slowly back into its new channel. It was done this way to avoid the damage that would occur to the riverbed if the flow were to occur too suddenly.
Today's ceremony marks the culmination of a lot of planning and hard work, but this project is far from over. Later on this week, the upper part of the Mashassic River will be opened up, completing its flow through the new channel.
Nice clean water too, did you notice? The reporter in 1989, Jeff Latham, is now an attorney in Rhode Island.
The question about living in downtown Providence, I think it's worthwhile to go back a little and to look at what happened in Providence. We've all seen the great images of Providence when it was booming in the 20s and 30s, and we saw streetcars, and it was where all the shopping took place, and the department stores were here, and the streets were packed. And in over 40 or 50 years, that's all changed. The idea of residential use down here was a strategy to revitalize the downtown neighborhood, and it was uncertain at that time whether it would work, but it has absolutely worked. We are now 99% leased, and you can see that there's commercial uses on the first floors, and it's actually a fairly vibrant and bustling little area. But what's happened in the 20 years that we've been doing this is that nationally there's an absolute trend and movement back into the urban cores, and it's happening here, it's happening in many places, and we just happen to have this fantastic historic district in our downtown that is so perfect for this type of residential environment. We believe because of this opportunity that it's about the jobs, it's about living, it's about culture and entertainment, and we believe that that these are all the components that are going to make this a very, very strong and vibrant downtown that will serve the entire state of Rhode Island.
came down and we were seeing like some of what people would call, like, when the tourists come to Providence, the cities that, the places in the city that the tourists see, like, we went to the east side, upper east side, Thayer Street, South Main Street, Prospect Park, downtown Providence, the skating rink down here, City Hall. And these are some of the nicer places. These are the places where people who come to the city, who come off the buses down from URI, like, this is as much as they'll see. They never venture off down past City Hall, down past over here where I live, the south side.
If you see something wrong with the world around you, you know better. You need to do better. So that's how I like to live my life. That's how I think about it. You know, I see things like gentrification. I just try to say, well, just spreading the word and having more people become aware about it, you're helping. So you can help. You can, a little bit, you can help. So some people, they look at the situation and they're like, well, it's gentrification, a big business. Now, that affects you. That affects you. Everything affects you. That's becoming a myth. People don't walk down the street on crack anymore. No gunshots. I've been on this side of town for a year now. Not one gunshot.
That's because
you like being here. You like me? Well, I can understand why you like being here.
There's no gunshots.
Daddy, help me. Yeah, I thought the east side looked better, but that's one thing. This side of town don't got, the east side has gunshots.
What way?
Anyway.
This way? This
way. Make sure that's the way to keep it. Yes. Identification affects things like people in your community, people in your neighborhood, all that matters. You know, that old adage, it takes a village. It definitely takes a village. It does. That's something that like the neighborhood, some of the neighborhoods in Providence are missing because they're not neighborhood. It's just a hood because it's missing something. It's not neighborhood because you're not cordial, you're not friendly with the people you're around. Your neighbors only by choice that you live there. You're not a community. You don't have that community infrastructure, you're just faceless people that live in buildings across from each other. People have to realize we're connected. Everybody's connected. But you can't build a community if you're uprooting everyone. You can't. Nothing's gonna grow there. Roots all gone.